Just taking a look, first of all, at the US, and of course we've got a lot of forces working in the US at the moment. The key and long-term one, of course, is trying to get inflation down, and we had the CPI came out last week. It was more or less in line with market expectations, which in a way is good, but it also is on a slow trajectory to get back to the Fed's 2% target. So the April CPI, it was 0.4%, as the market expected. As a result of that, the annual rate of inflation came down to 4.9% from 5%. The core is still sticky. So that was 0.4% as well. It was 0.4% the month before. And that just trickled down the annual rate to 5.5% from 5.6%. And supporting it still is quite high service price inflation. And so, you know, it's going to be a long, slow affair getting this inflation down anywhere near the Fed's target. And on its own, that still leaves the Fed with a bias to tighten further. Obviously, they're watching the rest of the economy to see how that's starting to show some signs of slowing. There's hints of it in parts. So we had initial jobless claims for the most recent week, and they went up to 164,000 from 242,000. If we held up around that level, then we might start to get some slightly softer non-farm payrolls coming through, but they'd need to be a lot softer to convince the Fed that on any sort of reasonable time frame is going to get inflation back in target. We had producer prices came out. These are very much influenced by goods prices, and goods prices are on their way down. We still had a rise in the PPI. It was up 0.2% in the month of April, but that did bring down the annual rate in the PPI to 2.3% from 2.7%. That may sound as if it's good and you've got not much inflation in the pipeline, but it's the services part where the prices are rising, not least of which is the same factors which are here, mostly running through housing rents and those sorts of areas. We also had the May Michigan consumer sentiment, the first part of that survey, the first few responses, and these have softened off. So it came down to 57.7 from 63.5, so some signs of weakness there. And the other factor, of course, that you're watching in the US at this point is what's happening amongst the regional banks periodically, and the stock market's looking for the next cab off the rank in terms of a bank that's getting itself into difficulty. And with the sort of bailouts that we're getting for those banks at the moment, it does lean itself more to even those ones that are rescued. There's a tightening of credit occurring, which of course means that the Fed, when it's thinking about putting interest rates up, bears in mind that it's got some tightening of policy coming through from the problems which are running through the banking system. And the other issue we've got looming in the US is the debt ceiling. And we heard from Janet Yellen last week, who's the Treasury Secretary these days, and she was talking about some of the things that would have to happen if there isn't a deal in the legislature to extend the debt ceiling before June 1st. At that point, there are many, many areas of government which would have to be shut down in order to start to save money to bring it within what the government can afford with a debt ceiling that hasn't been increased. And that in itself would be a factor which would bring down economic growth and would militate towards interest rates at least being on a pause. And if it became extreme, sort of having to come down. Now, these debt ceiling problems come round often. That should give us confidence that it will be resolved, but we've probably never had a more fractious Congress between the Republicans and the Democrats than we've got at this stage, so it's just adding to that concern. So it's a very mixed outlook for the time being for the US. We'll be watching some of the data that comes through. We haven't got a lot this week. So coming out this week, probably the key one, retail sales for April. And they are actually expected to rebound. They come out on Tuesday. They were down by 0.6% going back the month before. They expect to lift by 0.7% for the most recent month. Core retail sales coming out, and they were down 0.4% last month. And again, a rebound of about 0.4%. A suggestion that perhaps we still got some reasonable demand growth running through. We get a fair bit of housing data, including the May National Association of Home Builders Index. That's quite soft. It was at 45 last month. Expect to be 45 again. We've got home building permits. We've got housing starts. We've got existing home sales. All of those were down last month. Building permits were down 7.7% month on month, housing starts 0.8%, and existing home sales were down by 2.4%. So just watching those to see if there's a little bit of rebound coming through those. And we also get a few leading indicators like regional ones relating to the goods sector. So it's basically the New York or Empire State survey comes out tonight for the month of May. That's expected to show a negative this time. It bounced to plus 10.8 going back last month, and looking for minus 2.8 for the most recent reading. And also the Philadelphia Fed index, that was very weak last month at minus 31.3, looking for that to be minus 19 or so. So, you know, just watching the data reports is leaning more on balance towards the Fed being able to hold for a little while now, even though the inflation readings are still saying that it's not finished yet. It's still got some more work to do. So it's in that betwixt and between sort of phase as we go ahead. Moving to China, and we had some data from China last week. And exports, imports, the export data was still quite strong. It wasn't quite as strong as the month before when it had a huge bounce up to plus 14.8% year on year. Market thought that had come back to 8. It was 8.5%, so put the 2 months together, and it's still a pretty strong result. Suggests that there's certainly a flicker of life in demand around the world. The import side went the other way, though. So imports into China, they were minus 1.4% year-on-year. They came down to minus 7.9% year-on-year for the most recent reading. And we also had the April CPI and PPI came out. And inflation is pretty low in China now, and it's exciting some to say that, you know, the People's Bank of China almost imminently could lower interest rates in China. That's a possibility. If they are going to do it, they'll do it early this week, because I want to get in ahead of the data reads that come on Tuesday. And the data reads, if anything, are going to be on the strong side. So yeah, get it out the way before that happens. Otherwise, you get data reads which suggest you shouldn't be doing it. So just the CPI in China, the annual rate of change in inflation there has come down to 0.1% year-on-year now from 0.7. And the producer price index there is down at minus 3.6% year-on-year from minus 2.5%. So, you know, that's one of the driving forces for just some of this speculation about what might happen in China early this week. On Tuesday, we'll get the run of monthly readings, and all of them look pretty strong. April fixed asset investment spending should lift a bit from 5.1% year-on-year to 5.2%. April industrial production, they're looking for a really big rebound here from plus 3.9% year-on-year to 10.1% year-on-year. And April retail sales, this big rebound that's come, you know, off the easing of restrictions, plus some of the holiday spending, we're looking at that to bounce to plus 20.1 from plus 10.6. So, you know, that's where they're going to do any interest rate easing. You wouldn't want to do it after that data if it comes in quite as firmly as that. Moving to Australia, of course, last week, before we get onto the budget, we had a bit of data came out as well. We had March home building approvals. They were down 0.1% month on month after a dead cat bounce of 3.9%. It was a huge fall the month before that. They're off about 15% year on year. They're only running around about 10,000-11,000 a month, so they're really very, very low at the moment, home building approvals. And that's a worry about the supply of new housing. Supply of new housing, you know, looks to be very weak down the track, and that's at a time when the demand is, you know, obviously building quite strongly. We had Q1 retail sales came out, and this allows for inflation. And it was down in real terms. So going back to Q1, there was a revised minus 0.3% quarter on. Sorry, going back to Q4 last year, there was a revised minus 0.3% quarter on quarter. That's gone to minus 0.6% quarter on quarter. So that's one of the contributors going into GDP. It's not everything to do with household expenditure, though. Household consumption expenditure, a large part of that is services, which is not captured in this, and that almost certainly was still quite strong. So it doesn't necessarily mean that household consumption spending will have a negative sign on the front of it when it comes through. We also had the NAB Business Conditions Business Confidence Survey. This one's still holding up pretty well. Business conditions, anything above plus 10s, above the long-term average for this survey. Back in March, it was a plus 16, which was very strong. It came back a touch, but to plus 14. So that's still running very, very well. Business confidence improved slightly too, from minus 1 back to flat. At this stage, business is still reasonably confident about things. And then we come to the federal budget, which really was a story of the government needing to spend some money on compensation for certain groups. The groups that it's picked are largely welfare recipients of one form or another, and so there was very little in there, as you'd expect, for anybody else. But they did spend a fair bit in terms of the spending initiatives in there on things like rent relief, what they've done with Medicare in terms of trying to get more doctors to bulk bill, in terms of the compensation relief for some of those groups, running for energy costs and the cost of living. So it was an interesting budget in that they had a huge windfall coming into bringing down this budget. Everything turned out to be a lot stronger than they were forecasting when they brought down their first budget in October last year. So as a result of that, when we look now into this current financial year, or look at the result for last financial year, which is not yet in, but is probably going to be a budget surplus now of around the $4 billion mark. Going back to October, they expect it's still going to be a deficit of $30 billion. Much of the benefits come through from having much stronger employment growth, tax receipts than they expected going back to budget time. There was a little bit of saving on the expenditure side, but not that much, relatively. There was largely windfall coming through from company taxes with the higher resource prices as well. For example, the iron ore price that they had built in for this current financial year, going back to that October budget last year, was $55 a tonne for iron ore. It's been sitting above $100 a tonne on average, and the coal price has been much higher, so they've had an absolute windfall in terms of tax receipts coming through from that. The interesting part about the budget, they don't expect to keep that budget surplus for any length of time. It goes straight back to deficit again, and part of the reason for that is that they've spent some of that windfall. Now, if you're all about trying to keep demand out of the economy, all of that windfall from stronger forecasts, they should have actually brought that back to the budget bottom line. And if they did want to spend, as they have in this budget, they should have found some expenditure cuts elsewhere to fund all of that. They didn't. And so they found some expenditure cuts, but not enough to cover everything that they're spending. And so as a result of that, we've got the budget deficit reappearing in the out years. And so in that sense, the budget will be contributing a little bit to demand, and that's not exactly what you want at this particular time. And also, given that much of the benefit from the budget is going to welfare recipients, they don't save much either. So it's going to be high octane demand that comes out of that. They're going to be spending most of what they receive out of this. So that's the other issue, which makes it a little bit hard to say that the budget's actually going to be bearing down inflation to the extent that it does. It's going to be a bit of smoke and mirror stuff, where it takes some pressure out of some components of the CPI because of the benefit you provide. The following year, though, you end up with a base effect where it goes straight back into inflation. And they didn't allow for that in their forecasts either. So their economic forecasts are a little bit strange in the sense that whilst they're similar to the Reserve Bank's forecasts, the most recent ones the Reserve Bank brought down, they have wage growth too, peaking at 4% at the end of this year, but they then have nominal wage growth coming back a little bit more than the Reserve Bank was expecting in their forecasts. And as a result of that, they have the inflation rate coming down a little bit more than expected over the out years. So a lot of this doesn't hang together all that well. And when push comes to shove, I don't think that the budget will make a great deal of difference to the inflation outlook or what the Reserve Bank will do, but it certainly doesn't help at all. So that's the sort of bottom line that comes off it. In fact, as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned, they're going to be watching like a hawk what comes out this week. And what comes out this week are things like the first quarter wage price index and also the labour force report out on Wednesday and Thursday this week. The first quarter wage price index will be very, very important because when you look at either Treasury's forecasts or the Reserve Bank's forecasts, they have this modest lift in wage growth that peaks at 4% at the end of this year and then starts to come down next year. There's not a lot of leeway in there for upside surprises in wage growth currently or the strength of the labour market, because the other point about both sets of forecasts is that they actually need weaker labour force to ratify the wages staying under control. So if we get any sort of strength now running through monthly labour force data, that starts to become a red flag as far as the RBA is concerned. So the sort of benchmarks for the data coming out this week, for the wage price index, market expects 0.9%, 3.6% year-on-year. That compares with 0.8, 3.3 going back for the previous quarter. That's absolute limit. If it's any higher than that, it's really going to put pressure on the Reserve Bank to keep lifting interest rates. Why so? Because in their forecasts, they've got annual wage growth going to 3.8% in June this year, 4% at the end of the year. That's not a lot of headroom for acceleration in annual wage growth, particularly when you've got things like the minimum wage case whopping into view, where they're going to be arguing for a 7% increase, when you've got the aged care wage rise of 15% coming through on the 1st of July, when you've got a lot of concern about the scrapping of the caps on public sector wage increases here in New South Wales. That one's coming to a head at the moment, where most of the unions are saying, look, you promised us we're going to get a wage rise. Where is it? And it's starting to come through. And you really don't need a tight labour market adding to those wage pressures. And so we've had a very tight labour market last couple of months where we've had employment growth above 50,000 a month. In the forecasts of both the RBA and Treasury, that has to come down to an average of around 10,000 a month over the remainder of this year. So that in turn would mean that annual growth in employment would come back from over 3% where it is now to 1.5% by the end of the year. And the unemployment rate gets up to 4% by the end of the year. Currently it's at 3.5%. They have to get that in order to get that pressure off wages. And at the moment, it's not happening. And so we'll be watching the number that comes out on Thursday very carefully. And at this stage, the market's looking for 25,000 increase in employment. It was 53,000 the month before. And the unemployment rate's still staying down there at 3.5%. This is where the pressure point is still way more towards the Reserve Bank having to lift interest rates further than is widely recognised in the market. And so just watching these numbers as we go through the course of this week. As far as Europe's concerned, the data we had last week, well, we had Centix investor confidence. That's starting to peel away. So in May, it was at minus 8.7 going back to April. It was hoped to come in at minus 8. It was minus 13.1. But we also had the Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee, and they lifted another 25 basis points. Base rate in Britain now is up to 4.5%. It was at 4.25% before this latest hike. And admittedly, they're still giving indications they've got a fair way to go. And with reason, their inflation rate's at 10.5%. So it actually went up last month And they've got some horrific wage claims running through there at the moment. So you know, all of that is still putting pressure there to the Bank of England for their rate movements. This week in Europe, we get industrial production coming out of Europe tonight. That's been pretty strong, actually, 1.5% last month. Still expects to be up slightly again this month. We get revised Q1 GDP. It was positive, but only just, you know, at 0.1%, 1.3% year-on-year, probably no adjustment there. We get their trade balance. Trade over recent months has bounced back into surplus out of deficit in Europe, largely with strength in exports. Again, another one of those weird factors which doesn't quite tally with global growth being quite as weak as is commonly believed. And we get some ZEW economic sentiment indicators. But over the course of this week, yeah, we're watching just developments in the US, probably more towards the doing and frying with the debt ceiling over there than anything else, plus also, you know, any developments on the banking side in the US, leaning against further rate increases. Here in Australia, if anything, the data is going to make it more likely that we get another rate increase. So watching the Q1 wage price index and the labour force data that comes out this week.